Hello again. Thank you for joining me online. This is the Sunday message for New Life Ministries for November 16th. And we're going to really focus in on Psalm 106 this week. That's been our Psalm of the week for the past week. So we already should have been meditating and praying, worshiping God there. This one's got such an important message, and by the way, it's one we don't hear near enough. Some people don't hear it at all. I felt I better teach from this psalm. So anyway, thanks again for joining me. Let's get right into this. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? How blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, in your favor towards your people. Visit me with your salvation. Boy, there's the line of your life. Visit me with your salvation. You want to pray that and ask God for that. That I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones. That I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory in your inheritance. Father, I pray you open my heart and my mind so I speak your word according to your will and plan and with your anointing. Lord, open the ears of the hearers. Help them receive this instruction, but help them receive your grace to enable them to receive the blessings that are in this word. I pray it in Jesus' name. So it's kind of obvious God wants to bless us and provide for us. And we really, he wants us praying that regularly. He obviously wants us worshiping him with these words. That's why he put it in his psalm book. The book of Psalms is prayers, but it's also worship songs. Prayers put to music and praise. And so here's one that just praises God for some incredibly good blessings. All right, now, something else is kind of what good word, be praying it, be thanking God for it. It positions you to receive the blessings you're praising him for. All right, listen to the next verse, verse 5. We've sinned with our fathers. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. Now, if you read this entire psalm, you're going to see a long list of the many times God's people fell away from him in spite of his blessings. Why is this a worship song? Why sing a song of praise to God that reminds us of our failures? Here's the reason why. When God makes a song, when he has a worship song in the Psalms, he wants us praying. He wants us, the Israelites worshiped God with these songs so many times, they got in their long-term memory. It's also the practice of meditation. When you're singing and praying God's word out loud, you're meditating on it. God gave us the Psalms for those purposes because he wants us to be very aware. I'm going to go ahead and use the word painfully aware of how easy it is to fall away from God. Even if we consider ourselves good Christian people trying to walk out a relationship with God, we've got to be careful. We've got to be aware that our adversary, the devil, stalks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And God wants us to not be asleep, not to fall prey to some sneak attack from the enemy. And his word and prayer and meditation help us to get our mind in the right place. We're going to work our way through this psalm. But first, let's get a New Testament principle, in case you think I live too much in the book of, well, I do live totally in the book of Psalms. I'm there. I hear from God. I interact with God. But you say, well, that's the Old Testament. If your brain thinks that way, you'll ask the Lord to help you fix that, because it's all the Holy Bible and it's all connected from one end to the other. But here's what the New Testament says about the point I just made. Hebrews 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you'll hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They've not known my ways. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Here's God in the New Testament saying, I never want you to forget how easy it is for my people to fall away from me, even when I'm blessing them. So here it is, verse 12, brethren, beware, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily. That means we encourage one another concerning these things while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. I hope most of you remember how excited you were when you first came to Jesus. You got excited. You knew your sins were forgiven. You felt energized by the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you began living a life for God, for Jesus Christ, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. God says, as excited as you were in the beginning, stay with that. This will help us do it. All right, Psalm 106, verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly. Notice that word lusted in their hearts. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Now, for the sake of time, you'll find what he's talking about here in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And I want to encourage you, go read that whole chapter for the sake of time. I got a lot of information to cover. For the sake of time, we won't turn there. But let me tell you what's in Numbers 11. I hope you'll go read it. You're going to find a group of people. In fact, they were kind of leaders. They were well known in the people of God out there in the wilderness. And they began complaining and griping against Moses. Oh, we'd have been better off in Egypt. You know, we had food, we had a place to stay. And they began voicing their complaints, and people were listening. And in that first open verses 1-6, you read about the Lord pouring out a consuming fire that destroyed and killed these complainers. That's pretty big stuff. You know, we remember that God rained fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sexual sins. And gee, that's pretty staunch, pretty tough. But here he's raining fire down on his people who are complaining against him in the wilderness. Let me tell you why that is. The New Testament teaches us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. If you're out there in the wilderness, depending on God to protect you and keep you alive, and you're griping and complaining and murmuring, you're getting in the way of the power of God. You're getting in the way of him saving and helping you by those words. And he made a point. He sent fire and destroyed the ones who were speaking against him. Goes on, verse 31-34. Go read the whole chapter. Here's what happened, and this is what he's talking about here in this psalm. If you remember the story, if not, please go read it. Out there in the desert, what are they going to do for food? God miraculously rained down something called manna, is what they named it. Manna fell from heaven. It was on the dew in the morning. Some say it was like a sort of a pasta kind of a thing, sort of like a bread dough kind of a thing. But really, I heard one preacher say it was energy food. It was very, very like a protein bar or protein food. It gave them the nourishment. It gave them the strength and the health that they needed to trek through the desert. And they marched and they built their tents when they dwelt, and they moved. It was a lot of hard work, and this food sustained them, and God provided it for them miraculously every day. Well, they started complaining. We'd rather have some meat. You know, back in Egypt, we had fish and we had meat and we had food. And they began to complain. If you read that story, you're going to see God said to Moses, I'm going to go ahead and give them their heart's desire, but it's not going to go well. And so he rained again, supernaturally. Quail began to fly into Israel and drop out of the sky. First of all, keep in mind, it's not where they live out there in the desert. And enough quail came to feed approximately 3 million people out there in the desert. So the quail fall out of the sky. They're rejoicing. They begin to eat the food, eat the quail, cook them up and eat them. And the Bible says in that Numbers chapter 11, before they could finish chewing, or almost before they started chewing the meat, it turned bitter in their mouth, it turned bitter in their stomach, and a plague broke out, and tens of thousands of people died because of their lusting after something other than God was providing for them. Pretty serious stuff. God wants us to be aware of these things. Now, listen to the New Testament, book of Galatians, chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things you wish. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, if you come to this church twice in a row, you're going to hear me telling you the most important thing you will ever do in your relationship with God is learn to follow the Holy Spirit carefully. In fact, I'll say it this time. Learning to follow the Holy Spirit, that is your relationship with God. And he says, if you're following the Spirit carefully, you will not give in to the lusts of the flesh. And that's a lot of stuff. And in this world we live in, there's sexual temptation. There's food cravings and food temptation. There's drugs, there's alcohol, there's all kinds of stuff that your flesh lusts after. And God wants us aware that there's a battle, it rages against our soul, and if we'll stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, we'll be just fine. All right, so still Psalm 106, verse 16. When they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the factions of Abiram. Again, you'll find that in Numbers 16 and 1. Well, the entire chapter. Please go read it. It's scary stuff. It's very strong stuff. But God is saying, I want you never to forget how easy it is to fall away from my plan and my will for your lives. And he's warning us to not take these things lightly. Now, I'm going to jump right over. Well, let me explain what you're going to see in Numbers 16. So these leaders, Dathan, Abiram, he's got a list of a few guys there, very well known, very renowned, very respected, and they start verbally coming against Moses and Aaron, and they're speaking against them, and now they try to make it sound real spiritual. Well, you know, everybody in Israel is anointed. I mean, we all have the blessings of God. He pours out his Spirit on all of us. Now remember, it's the Old Testament, they were not born again, they didn't have the Spirit of God living inside of them, but God would put his Spirit on different people to accomplish different things. Moses and Aaron and the leaders they appointed were anointed of God for leading the children of Israel there in the desert. This group was raising up saying, you know, everybody's anointed, everybody's got the mind of God. They could, you know, why should you guys be getting all the glory? What about us? Okay. Here's what it says in the New Testament, Hebrews 13, 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So the New Testament, And you know what? It's not a power thing. It should not be a power thing for people who are called to leadership positions. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets. If you're called to a ministry position, especially teaching or presenting the Word of God, it's not a power thing. It's a calling from God. Every person in the body of Christ has a calling. Well, every person on the planet has a calling from God, something God created you to do. And when you figure out what it is and operate in it, you'll be anointed of God. The Spirit will be powerful, and God will use you to bless and to help people, and you will be respected as a man or woman of God because of the Spirit and the anointing that's in your life. But in this Old Testament example, you had a group of people who were not called to leadership speaking against those who were called to leadership. And here's what God said to Moses and Aaron. You tell people they better get away from them because I'm going to deal with them. And they gave the instruction and said, okay, you guys who think you're something of God, put some oil and some fire in your censers, some incense in your censers, and meet me over here, and we'll let God show who are his called ones and who are not. And so they separated these leaders, and they warned the people, don't be around them, don't stick with them, it's not going to be good. But they had their meeting at a separate place, and an earthquake occurred. The ground opened up, and it swallowed these rebellious people, these ungodly leaders who were coming against the leadership of the, well, we could say of the church. It was the children of Israel out in the desert. An earthquake opened up and swallowed the people who were leading a rebellion against God and his people. You think there may not be trouble for God's for people who are leading rebellion and hatred against Israel and Israel's people, Jewish people? This is God warning us. He can send earthquakes. He can send fire. He can send plagues on people who are coming against God, who are coming against Moses. Well, God's leaders and God's word. He's warning us about how seriously he takes it. And we should take it as well. Continuing on, verse 32, Psalm 106. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. Again, go read Numbers 20. Now, you know, I feel like this online version, I tried to give you a very brief version. I just want to say what God once said to you. Please go do the research. Go to the Numbers chapters, the things I'm telling you about. Read those stories and let God speak to you. He's trying to protect us from the enemy stealing, killing, and lying in our lives and in our families and in our communities. This is the word he uses to protect us with. Remember that first word, God, send me your salvation? This is how he saves us from the devil trying to kill us. All right, what you're going to see in Numbers 20, the children are complaining. You know, we don't have enough water. We're going to die of thirst. They never lacked for water. They never did. But here again, they're complaining. We had it better in Egypt. We're going to die of thirst. Who can help us out here in the desert? Moses would always encourage them. The Lord said to Moses, Moses was starting to get kind of upset. He was getting angry. He's having a gut full. God's miraculously again and again and again saving and providing for his people. And they're murmuring, they're complaining, they're raising up factions to overthrow Moses, all kinds of stuff. And God said, listen, go stand before your people. There's a rock over there. Go stand before your people and tell your people God will send forth water from this rock. And Moses said, God said to Moses, tell them that I will cause water to gush out of the rock, and people will see that I am God and I'm still taking care of them. Well, Moses went over there, but he was mad. He was angry, and he was going to show them. And I think he chewed them out pretty good. And he started banging on the rock with his rod. to bring the water out. Here's what the New Testament says about that. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? With whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? To whom did God swear that they would not ever enter into his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. You know, if you don't know this story, it's shocking. After 40 years of being God's man, God's leader over Israel, after 40 years, when it came down to this, God telling him, pray over that rock, stretch your hand out, stretch your rod out, I'll show the people that I'm taking care of them. He gets mad, he chews them out, he beats on the rock with his rod, and God says to Moses, because of that, you will not enter the promised land. Moses died in the wilderness. They honored him, they buried him, but he did not get to enter the promised land. Because after 40 years, you know what was the one thing I don't know if you're aware of this or not, I hope you are. They could have marched or walked from Egypt to the promised land. That's what's now Israel today. They could have marched there in about 3 weeks. It was a lot of people, I realize that. But 3 weeks, some say if it was a military march and people were in good shape, maybe a lot quicker than that. But they could have made it in 3 weeks. Let's call it a month. Why 40 years? God was trying to teach them one thing. I want you to know my voice. When you hear me speak to you, you've got to obey me perfectly. You've got to obey me. You got to be careful. You got to understand that life and death is hanging in the balance when it comes to hearing and obeying God. And Moses, after 40 years, God said, pray over that rock. Tell the people they don't have to worry. I'll take care of them. And he's mad and he bangs on the rock. Sure, the water flowed. But God said to Moses, I'll put it in my verbiage. I'm sure you're going to beat on the rock when I told you to just pray over it and show the people that I'm still caring for them and that I still love them. Moses showed anger and he got mad. And God said, if you can't obey me better than that, I will make an example out of you. Because a leader in the community of God, a leader of God's people, better be one who knows how to hear and knows how to obey carefully. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't say that to anybody on the planet today, I'm saying it to Andrew P. Laszlo. That's all God is talking to me about. Be more careful to hear my voice. Be more careful to obey me. And those of you who don't know me, I say this in my church all the time. It's great that we're not robbing banks and killing people. Aren't we lovely Christians? But God speaks to us every day. He has instruction. He has things he wants to accomplish with us and through us, and he needs us to be careful about hearing his voice and to be very careful about obeying when we hear him. And God is, I've been serving the Lord for 40 some odd years, and what's he working on in my life today? Be more careful to hear me and obey me. It's because he loves us, and he's got great things he wants to do through us. We just need to be serious about hearing his voice and careful to obey. All right, we're still in Psalm 106, verse 34. They did not destroy the people concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. They mingled with the Gentiles. I have this underlined in my note. They mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. You know, this was a practice in a lot of pagan cultures. You killed your children as a blood sacrifice to your pagan gods, and that was supposed to bring some blessings. It was a horror. It's a horror today when innocent lives are sacrificed, when children are murdered through abortion, and there are people who intentionally murder children as sacrifices to Satan. It's always to Satan. There's never any good place for it. It's always to Satan. People do it today. the children of Israel. I mean, my God, how ungodly do you have to be deceived into killing your children? But it was being practiced. And the Israelites out there in the desert, after all that God was doing for them, they would come into a place, they would be blessed there, and they'd begin to interact or intermingle and actually adopt the practices of the ungodly people. Anyway, it says they sacrificed their sons and daughters. They sacrificed them to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. They were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. All right. You know, I said that wrong. Yeah, not necessarily in the desert, but in Canaan land where they were supposed to come. Well, let's take a look at this New Testament verse. It'll make it make sense. Philippians 2 and 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless, pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. So here's God's instruction in the New Testament saying in this corrupt, evil, horrible world that we live in, I want to use you to be lights. I want to use you to be an example. I want you to lead those people in darkness into the light of God and Christ. That's a calling that's on every one of our lives. Here's that Old Testament example of God's people who should know better, who have been blessed and in the grace of God, falling, instead of being a light in that dark place, they start interacting with the world, they adopt their practices. Next thing you know, they're acting like children of the devil instead of children of God. You better know that's going on in our world today. You better know that's exactly what's going on. TV programs that support ungodliness, sexual sin, perverted lifestyles, and promote them and say that it's good and it's right. Churches that are ordaining homosexuals to be leaders in the church, that's ungodly. That's adopting the ungodly worldly ways and thinking it's okay. So we've got news sources reporting lies and calling them truth. We've got Hollywood and the media promoting lifestyles and encouraging sin and ungodliness. We've got a world full of corruption. God calls us to be light in the darkness. And when we fall away from that, we open the door for Satan in our lives. God wants to protect us from that. That's why we're hearing these words today. Well, we're getting close to the end. I know it's a lot of information. God told me, you be sure and share this right out of Psalm 106 so God can accomplish his purpose from Psalm 106. But here's his purpose. Verse 43, many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel. They were brought low for their iniquity. That means their sins got them all messed up. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. When he heard their cry, for their sake he remembered his covenant, relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Here's a psalm. God wants us worshiping him with this. He wants us praying and praising and meditating in these very words. And at the end of it, he's pointing out the fact that though we fall away, and even if we do fall away, he will be merciful. He will forgive us. Thank God Jesus went to the cross. When we sin, when we're deceived, when we fall into some ungodly rebellion, we can run to the cross. Confess, the Bible says, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You will be forgiven. Here it is in God's word. You will be forgiven. You will be made righteous and holy through Christ's sacrifice. Use that. Go to him, receive your forgiveness, receive God's mercy. It will always be there for you. That's God's desire for you, is to keep you in a relationship with him through his mercy and forgiveness. And by you being committed and inspired and in fact anointed by his word and his spirit to walk in that blessing and to walk in his protection and provision. Here's the ending verse. This is Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us back from among the nations so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. Let the people say amen. Praise the Lord. I love it when God puts his own amen in there. He ends this psalm by saying, I want to save you. I want to help you. I'll always forgive you. Stay in relationship with me. Stay in a position to receive my blessings and my help. That's what's in this word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters listening online. I know they come to hear the word of God. Father, I've said it the best I can from your scripture. I pray your Holy Spirit be upon these words. You've spoken to them. You've quickened things in their heart as they were listening. Show them, Lord. If they've made those mistakes, you'll forgive them. Show them, Lord, that when you forgive them, you'll restore them to relationship with you. And in that relationship, they'll be blessed. They'll have the salvation of God. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Let your spirit and your grace empower them and lead them to a good place of relationship with you, where they can receive all that you have for them, where they can receive the blessings that are theirs through Christ's sacrifice. I pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for joining me here online. We'll see you soon.